Ocek trying to throw some right hands. McSorley tying him up. Now McSorley knocks off the helmet of Ocek. The fans are chanting, Geno, Geno.
This is the Jazz Joe Hall Show on 980 CKNW.
Welcome back to the show. That chant, Geno, 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 dates back to the first game that Geno Ocek handled the Vancouver Canucks in 1990. As many of you know, Mr. Ocek is a fan favorite. He passed away this weekend, having played 8 seasons with the Vancouver Canucks. The news broke Sunday afternoon when his sister posted a message on Facebook. Now, soon after the 52-year-old's death was announced, live during the broadcast of the Sunday Canucks game against the Carolina Hurricanes, many people, of course, posted on social media of the impact Mr. Ocek had on them and his tremendous impact on hockey here in our province. This morning, former Vancouver Canuck owner Arthur Griffiths spoke to our colleague Simi Serra about his time with Geno Ocek. Take a listen.
I remember his first game, and they'd only had a couple of fights, and I was reminded yesterday, of course, from Stan Smeal, but in an interview, but to know that this guy just understood that that was what he's going to do, and even Chicago, I think they were, which is who it was against, I think they were just going, oh my goodness, what are we up to? What are we up against? And his teammates, absolutely, you know, there's this bond that the 94 group of players had, and Geno exemplifies that. They were a family. They are a family. They are all sad today, but cherishing his memories. And I think that, like I said, you know, he could walk into a room, in any room, any room, whatever it may be, people just fell in love with him.
Now, earlier today, Global News spoke to Cliff Ronning, a Burnaby resident and a former teammate of Mr. Ocek, and he was telling the Global News audience, of course, that Mr. Ocek was loved by all.
Geno was everybody's friend. He always had your back. You know, playing the game, he always felt protected. He was a hero to so many Indigenous kids. He was a true warrior. You know, we've lost one of our best, Canuck Nation. And he was the type of guy that was always there for you, no matter what, and never demanded anything. He was just a guy that not only the fans loved, but the players loved him, the coaches loved him.
That was Cliff Ronning. Well, last year, Ocek's plaque was unveiled in the BC Sports Hall of Fame. As Mr. Ocek made his way to the stage, those in attendance began chanting, Geno, 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 a chant, as I said, that dates back to his first game with the Canucks in 1990. Well, joining us now to discuss Geno Ocek's contribution to hockey and this city is Jason Beck. Mr. Beck is a curator and facility director of the BC Sports Hall of Fame. Jason, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jess.
Your thoughts on Geno Ocek's impact on the city and the game of hockey?
Well, I mean, you're seeing it right now. You really are. You see, with all the tributes and the stories and just the outpouring from not just in BC but across Canada and around the world. Like, here's a guy that really made a major impact, not just on the ice, but virtually with everybody that he came into contact with. You know, I think there are some individuals that are just maybe just a little bit more genuine or a little bit more caring than the average person, but you don't find them in professional hockey or in roles like high profile roles like Geno was. So it's you're really seeing it. When I was trying to sum up his career last spring before the induction, I was struggling a little bit to encapsulate it all. And I was at a Canucks game at Rogers Arena, and he was introduced to the crowd, just put on screen. And like you just said, the crowd started chanting his name, Geno, Geno, Geno. And that's when it hit me. You know, he's been retired for over 20 years, and fans are still chanting his name in packed arenas. Mm-hmm. You know, most NHL players, even stars, rarely have that happen when they're playing. And if they do, it's for a brief period. But that shows the impact of what Geno had on the public here and Canucks fans and just in sport in general in BC.
When did you first meet Geno Ocek?
First time I met Geno was in 2017, actually 2017 and 2018, when we were preparing the Indigenous Sport Gallery at the BC Sports Hall of Fame. We wanted to feature him in the gallery, which we did, and also wanted to get his input on some of the work that we were doing. And he was really generous with his time and his opinions, and then also donated some memorabilia that is on display still in the hall. Yeah.
So his memorabilia is there at the Sports Hall of Fame if people wanted to go check it out.
We actually still have his inductee display up from his induction last June in the Hall of Champions. So, you definitely come down and see his display. He's also, he'll be honored for forever in the Hall of Champions with our other honored members and honored teams.
So did you give him a tour of the Hall of Fame or of that specific display when away from the public?
Yeah, so when the day of the opening of the Indigenous Sport Gallery in September 2018, it was a really emotional event. There was several hundred people here for the opening from all over BC, lots of Indigenous sport leaders and athletes and various communities. Like, it really was a BC-wide event. And Gino was going to be there, and I thought he actually was in the hall. But I didn't see him till he came walking up with his friend Peter Leach just after the opening ended, and I assumed he was coming back because the event had been so big and so packed. I thought maybe he wanted to take another look. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, we're here." And I said, "Well, sorry, Gino, you're late. You missed it." And he said, "Oh, I guess he just got the time mixed up." Mm-hmm. So I said, "Look, come on down. There's not many people left, but we can give you a tour of the gallery," which was great because he actually had the time and the space and kind of a quieter atmosphere to look at everything and take it all in. So he was seeing all these great Indigenous athletes and teams and stories and events that are profiled in the Indigenous Sport Gallery, but he was really quiet. And I was actually starting to get a little bit worried that he wasn't saying anything, that maybe he didn't like it or there was something wrong. And anyhow, Allison Mailer and I, the executive director, we finished the tour with him, and he just kind of looked at us both and then stuck out his hand to both of us to shake and just said, "This is reconciliation." And it was just like, it was such a powerful moment, and you could tell he was really moved by everything there. And from then on, he just continued supporting the hall after whenever we needed after that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that story. I think partially, I mean, what you've told me today, when you look at professional sports today, everything is behind a wall. What you do see is carefully curated, is carefully sometimes, you know, looked over by PR professionals and everything in between. There was and when you think about Gino, he's more so, you know, much more genuine. And authentic. And sometimes you don't get to see that, whether it be professional sports or something else. He was different that way, wasn't he?
He absolutely was. What you saw Gino on the ice and in person, whether you ran into him, you know, walking down the street or at a restaurant, everything about him was on the surface. And I love, like, authentic. That Gino was always Gino. He's always authentic. And I think that's why people just gravitated towards him. And he just seemed to attract everybody because of that. And I was thinking exactly what you're saying, you know, how everybody is so careful with what they say in professional sports now, and everything's curated and has to go through, you know, media relations and whatnot. You can actually take a lesson. Everybody, media relations, everybody, the professional guys could take a lesson from someone like Gino on how to be more authentic and genuine and inject a little humor and personality into things. I think it'd be better for everybody. You'd also see who, you know, the real personalities of people, and like you did with Gino. And I think that's, you know, why he was so loved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Jason, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share your story about stories about Gino and on this very important day, because there's lots of folks who appreciated everything that he did on and off the ice. Thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you, Jez. It's an honor.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.